Oh,
boy, I think she's actually hurt.
No, I think she is.
Yeah, she's hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay.
Boy, gosh, I hope she's okay.
Yeah. It's an odd for me Monday. Puck with you until 1 o'clock. The great Curtis Crabtree is in the Redbox producer's booth. It is, as they always say, the smarter way to watch and play. We are broadcasting from the Ballpark Realty Studio, ballpark-realty.com. You got any questions in the real estate market, especially up north? Give Jerry a call at 206-510-2749. Jerry doesn't pick up the phone, he's golfing. All right, you leave Jerry alone because he loves to play golf. So, we are in the Ballpark Realty Studio on a Not For Me Monday, which will include a visit from the talented Bucky Jacobson. Coming up at 11 o'clock, talk a little Los Marineros. Curtis Crabtree is here at 11:30 because it is training camp week. That's when Curtis normally joins us on Monday, so we'll have to pepper him with some football questions. But even though we have no race to react to, it is week two of the F1 recap show, and then also some Seahawks news. Now, I would ask this on the Coors Light text line, keeping Seattle chill, to all our listeners out there. We have 11. Are you more excited at 11:30 for Curtis to talk about the Seahawks with training camp starting on Wednesday or previewing the next race on the F1 recap show? You decide. 494-51. Which race is coming up, Curtis?
Hungarian.
Oh, and the Hungarian Grand Prix. You're damn right. Winner gets some, like, Hungarian stew? No?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, can we find that out? All right, so.
I think they get a trophy in the shape of the track.
Okay, perfect. Nothing wrong with that.
If I remember right.
So, 11:30 today, Curtis will talk a little Seahawks with us. He can talk Seahawks with us anytime. And, of course, F1 recap show. Coming up at 11:30, and the thing's got an open. It's unbelievable. It may be actually, as I've heard a lot of our opens here. I think it's the best open on the station of any segment we do.
I enjoyed the open making that.
It is VenueKings.com brings you the headlines for the day. The Mariners keep rolling. They took 3 out of 4 from the Oakland A's. What else, DePoto, do you need to see? Are you still waiting for what they do tonight against the Astros? I mean, let's go. Come on. Let's pick it up. Let's go.
It just continues. My health.
Oh, that's.
It just continues. My health.
Oh, that stank.
It just continues. My health.
Let's go. Come on. Make a move. Let's do something. For God's sakes. Or is this going to be the week? We talked about this in the sports book. Is this going to be the week where they were in on everyone and then they lost out on everyone? Is it going to be one of those? We're kind of in it, but we're not really in it. Who's the latest that we're going to strike out on? We struck out on Cruz. We struck out on Frazier. And now who's the latest? Merrifield?
With Merrifield, I guess. Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Well, that's the one that they're being connected to the most, right? Okay. Fine. Get Whit Merrifield. What? I don't care. What are you going to offer the guy? Here, the Royals want the moon for the dude. I was a little surprised how old he was. He was 32. Kind of aging. Well, they've done exactly what they should have done, and now they find themselves a game and a half out of the wild card spot from the Oakland Athletics. You know, there was a great line. I think it was, and I'm sure. These guys are going to be joining them on Monday, Ian and Shockey. I think it was Chris Crawford made a great mention of this on Twitter. Him and Nathan Bishop, the Molly Watt Mondays. Crawford said, hey, here's the deal with the Mariners. It's no longer, hey, you know, they played above their heads and they're playing surprising. Can they keep it up? Here's the deal. There's 62 games left. I mean, they're right there. They've got a chance to get in the playoffs, which is just remarkable. The teams ahead of them are flawed, like the A's, we just saw it. And I'm using his words, and the teams behind them are flawed. And Chris is exactly right. And I'm sure he'll make that point later today with Ian and Shockey. But a shot of adrenaline into this team of if it's Whit Merrifield or somebody else, and I understand their desire to have someone for more than this year. I mean, I get the logic behind it. I think it's, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, whether you have a guy beyond this year or you had a one-year, you had a half-season rental, who cares? Because the thing with Whit Merrifield is, is Whit Merrifield going to be the future second baseman of your team? I mean, he's 32. You know, it's not, I mean, not like he's young. Can he give you a few more years? I know he's under contract through, what, 2022, and then he has the team option for 23. Okay, fine. I mean, it's, I don't care what he makes. This team can afford anything. They can certainly afford a hell of a lot more than what they've been spending on. But it was fun series. I know, Curtis, you were there for all of it. What they have shown you here this weekend is, yeah, they're flawed. Of course they are. Do they have issues all in down their lineup? Yes. I mean, they still don't have consistency at several positions. But I don't know, man. They just keep winning. And at the end of the day, that's all it is, right? Right? It's just, if they win the games and they keep winning, they keep finding ways to win. They do it in surprising fashion. And I don't care. I can't remember which game it was. The Saturday game, maybe. And someone responded, well, they won another close game here. Was that the Saturday? That was the Kelnick game, right? The game, the wild pitch game was Saturday?
Friday, I think.
The one where he had all the Coke over his face. It looked like he just dived into a pile of
Starfish. Yeah, I believe it was Saturday.
And I said, what a great win, you know, and they had a picture of Kelnick with all of the booger sugar all over his face. And someone's like, well, yeah, but their plus minus, their run differential is minus 50. Like, who cares? Who cares what their run differential is? Like, we said this a few weeks ago or a month ago or something. Like, do you get an award at the end of the season for having the best run differential in baseball? Is that a thing? I don't know. I'm asking for a friend. I don't know a lot of things, and I'm not a smart man. But is there an award that they hand out at the end of the year? Like, do you have, like, I could see this in soccer. Like, you win, like, some supporter shield or something. Like, do you have the best run differential? I don't care how they win games, and I really don't care how they lose games. It's just, did you win or lose? They win close games, and they keep it close, and this is where they're at. So I think it's awesome. It's great where they're at. Again, this fan base deserves this organization to do something, anything, to put a winner out on the field. And there was a great comment, a great quote, and he summed it up perfectly. Was Kyle Seager. I'm sure he gave this to other people. I'm just reading from the Seattle Times and Ryan Divish's story. Was talking about, he asked Kyle Seager about adding to the Mariners team at the trade deadline and trying to win now. And Kyle Seager responded, absolutely. You always want to be on a team that's trying to win. Like I've said in the past, at some point it has to be about winning. And God damn it, that stood out to me. That's so spot on. And that I think people who have not lived here a long time, who did not grow up being a Mariners fan, who don't understand what it's like to go through the years of just miserable baseball, and every year you think you got a shot at something, and every year you play really well and you get to the deadline, you don't make a move. I think of those early 2000 teams in which, yeah, they were playing great baseball, but they needed something to put them over the hump and they didn't do anything. But I keep thinking about that line that Kyle Seager gave Ryan Divish yesterday. And this is all about, and this is specifically for them, but it's just about sports in general. At some point, it has to be about winning. And that's, I wish DePoto could read that over and over and over. And maybe not just DePoto, but John Stanton as well. At some point, Mariners, it has to be about winning and not developing a farm system. Again, you do not get, there's no medal, there's no supporter shield at the end of the season for having the best farm system. They're prospects for a reason. But he said at some point it has to be about winning. The goal, that's the goal of baseball. You don't necessarily always want to be playing for rebuilds and doing that stuff, especially for me, kind of where I'm at. I want to be playing for something bigger than myself. I want to be playing for something big, and you can feel how much the city is starving for it. You can see it with the fans. It's been way too long, obviously. But, yeah, you have to be about winning. And he's exactly right. He also went on to say that begging for the front office to do something. He's like, if they did something, would it send a message to the rest of the team? They believe in him. And Seager said, you want that, obviously. You want people to believe in you. You want them to feel like we're doing a good job and that this is a team to go for. I think it's been preached about this rebuild so much. But, I mean, we're right there on the edge of this thing. So certainly would like to have them make moves and get the team as good as we possibly can. And I know me personally. I mean, good Lord, I'd like to make a run out of it. And, again, Kyle Seager's been here for a damn long time and has seen – I mean, there have been some bad stretches of baseball in this town. And a lot of us have witnessed all of it. You know, the stretch of baseball he's been a part of has been really bad and has been really disappointing because, you know, when we were growing up as kids, they weren't good. They didn't have the payroll. They weren't investing too much into the team. You didn't really have any superstars until Griffey came around. But what has been disappointing under Kyle Seager's 10 years since he's been a player here is they've had the resources. They've had a beautiful ballpark. They have an ownership group that has the ability to spend money. They have spent money at times and then have not been good. I mean, remember, they were the first. Were they not the first team to spend over $100 million and lose 100 games? I mean, it just, they have had their resources in their back pocket and they haven't made it work. And it's not to say you throw money at this entire thing and they're going to go out there and win games. But he has seen, you know, up close and personal, just how bad this organization, for the most part, has been in its history. I'd like to see it for Kyle Seager. I'd like to see it for these other guys who have just grinded and worked their ass off. These guys in the bullpen, too. I mean, all of them. And maybe DePoto feels that. I would hope he feels that. He's a former player. He should know what it's like inside that clubhouse and inside that dugout. Do you mortgage the future? Well, I don't know. Decide what you think your future is. And then weigh that future against what it would mean to this city and this fan base to end a drought that has gone on for 20-plus seasons. It's maddening. I mean, they've got the longest playoff drought in professional sports. And at some point, they have got to get in. And it's got to be about winning and not building towards next season and building towards the future. Because, again, the future is just so unknown. You have no idea. I mean, I will respectfully disagree with Jim Bowden, who we had on last week. As great as Julio Rodriguez has been in the minor leagues, and I think we can, it's safe to say that he looks like he's a can't miss. But I think you always got to stress he looks like it. And Jim had said, no, trust me, he's going to be a superstar. Okay. I mean, I guess it's his opinion, but he doesn't know factually if that's going to happen or not. He could come up here and Julio Rodriguez could be overwhelmed. You know, we're seeing it in a small degree, I think a little bit with Jared Kelnick. It's something I'm going to bring up with Bucky. Again, maybe it's another small sample size and not to panic. He ain't hitting again. Remember, he wasn't hitting before. They sent him down. He went down to Tacoma and raked. Well, it took him like about a week or a few games to get going and then raked. He's been back up and he's not hitting again. I mean, it's the same issues. He has like 32 ABs since coming back. He struck out 15 times. It's like, so again, it's never set in stone with these guys. You know, maybe he gets through this season, he finally, you know, figures it out. But that's why I always get leery of these prospects. Now, on the other flip side of that is Logan Gilbert, who has gotten better with each start, even though the last one wasn't great. So I just think that they have an opportunity that they haven't had in a while, really since, what, the first season of DePoto. I just think that they owe it to this fan base. If you have a deep, you know, prospect pool that you claim to have and that your minor league system is in better shape than it was when you took over, which it obviously is, I think now is the time for this fan base that they're so close to tasting this, to get this back on track, make a move, and so this fan base can feel what it's like to be in a postseason, you know, one more time. I mean, you got 30,000-plus people there this weekend and yesterday. That's a damn good crowd. It's a damn good crowds over the weekend. And it was high-energy, fun games. You just imagine what that will be like. I mean, again, I remember what it was like in the early 2000s when that thing was packed every night. It was 45,000 people that were attending those games. There's just a lot of people that just don't remember that. Hell, Curtis, you're probably one of them. You probably don't even remember what it's like to see a full Safeco at the time, but a full stadium.
It's been...
On a nightly basis.
On a nightly basis, yes. I mean, I remember going to some of those games during 01 and stuff, right. So it's not like it's completely foreign concept to me, but it's been a while, for sure. I mean, God, you had a basketball team when they were here last and good, and, you know, so much has changed in 20 years, and...
You think about that. We were playing golf. Just sorry to interrupt. We were playing golf with Tim Booth from the AP, and he made up a, I don't know, just he and I were talking, I think, and his point was about the Sonics is like it's almost laughable that the Sonics, who haven't been here for how long? 13 years?
Yeah, left in summer of 08.
They've been in the playoffs.
More recently.
More recently.
06,
than the,
right? 05, 06.
05. Than the baseball team. To say that people are starving for, that was the words of Kyle Seager when he sat down with Ryan Divis, that are starving for it is, yeah, I mean, it's almost a gross understatement. I mean, people are just begging for this team to be relevant again. And now it would be different. There probably would be a little bit more excitement, which we've discussed before, if, like, the guys who you're depending on in the future, Kelnick, Evan White,
Raleigh,
those were the main contributors to it, then you would see more people jumping on. I mean, the fact is your key contributors to this baseball team are just guys that ultimately, you know, in a few years when you think your younger players are going to be here and they're going to be the ones that take you into the future, those guys won't be here. I mean, you know, guys like Kendall Graven, Paul Sewald, Steckenrider, Chargua, all those guys, they're a dime a dozen. You just, and that's the fickle thing with a bullpen. And that's why it's so tricky you head into next season, because bullpens, you just have to rotate like every year with a bullpen.
Well, I mean, as we've seen, like with what Edwin Diaz has done with the Mets since he's got, like, a guy who could be shoving it this year could be trash next year, and nothing has changed.
Exactly.
It can be really strange in that way, the way stuff works. And but, just because I looked at it, you can find stats to kind of tell a story in whatever way you want, right? But you remember that disastrous Padres series when they went down to San Diego and they had the COVID stretch and everything kind of fell apart from there? You mentioned the run differential stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So starting with the series after that they went to at Oakland.
Okay.
On, let me pull the date. Give me 2 seconds if I can get it. Look, May 24th.
Just so understand you're operating with Windows 98 here.
It's
going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, we can't pull up a Word document without it crashing
God,
the entire system.
Come on,
so,
Curtis, what a Word document? My God, takes you half an hour to sign in here.
So, starting with the game at Oakland on May 24th, until now, I think they're, 12 games over 500, and their run differential is dead level at 235-235.
Okay.
So, that 50 runs difference all came in the first...
Yeah,
47 games of the year.
Yeah, I just don't pay much attention to it. I really don't.
It depends on how it comes. If it's a consistent average to where they're falling 50 runs behind and then they win so many one run games, but they're having, I think it could be more telling. But I think we can see that over the last 2 months, this is the team they are.
Yeah.
They are a team that is a above 500 roster. That is playing about, yes, they are getting more lucky in the one-run games and probably getting more victories than they quote-unquote deserve, but they're getting them, and they're giving themselves those opportunities to get them by staying in the games.
You know, we bring up the negative when it comes to them winning all these close games, right, and their run differential, and people get stuck on that. Well, the run differential, it tells them how maybe not great of a team that they are. Rather than, I guess, taking the glass-half-full approach and go, yeah, but just look how they perform when the game is close. You know, there's something to that. I mean, Bucky can speak to it at 11 o'clock. There's something, the confidence you gain by playing close games and then performing while under pressure. There's something to that. And when you get into a 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, delivering with a big hit or a big pitch or a big defensive play, some people step up and rise to the occasion on that. Others don't, and then they lose games.
I also believe that since that same date when I pulled that the Mariners are second to only the Astros in record in the American League.
Oh, that stank! You're damn right they are, Curtis. All right, well, more on the Mariners. Bucky Jacobson coming up at 11 o'clock on a Not For Me Monday. The Seager comments. We got Seahawks training camp starting this week. Texas and Oklahoma have officially applied for the SEC and Team USA. My God, we've talked a lot about basketball on this radio station because we think that the we think it's crazy that the Seahawks media members, not you, Curtis, can beat the Seahawks. Maybe the team, Seahawks media, comprised of Chris Kidd, Michael Sean Dugar, and Joe Fannin, these guys, maybe they can go over and play for Team USA because they're embarrassing. The whole thing's embarrassing. They just lost to France, and now they got to win their next two games just to get into the medal round. So all that coming up on a Not For Me Monday. We're broadcasting from the Ballpark Realty Studio, ballpark-realty.com.
Awesome.
Now back to the Puck Show, powered by Redbox on Sports Radio 950 KJR and the iHeartRadio app.
It's a Not For Me Monday. We're with you. I'm inside the Ballpark Realty Studio, ballpark-realty.com. Give Joel Jerry a call if you have any real estate questions at 206-510-2749. Bucky Jacobson talking baseball on his Monday visit coming up in a half an hour. Curtis Crabtree, he's here. He's in the Redbox producer's booth. It's the smarter way to watch and play. He joins us on Mondays. Talk a little NFL, a little Seahawks. Training camp starts on Wednesday. And, of course, it's episode 2 of the F1 recap show that he is more fired up about than the Seahawks. And I got to check the text line to see on the Coors Light text line, keeping Seattle chill, if people want to hear more about the F1 or do they want to hear more about the Seahawks starting on Wednesday, where Curtis's life is turned upside down. Starting Wednesday afternoon, he'll never be the same.
It's been turned upside down for a while. It's just going to be beat to death with a hammer at that point.
Hey, but at least, you know, it's back to normal a little bit.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, you'll be able to, there'll be fans there. Well, not Wednesday, though. Wednesday, yeah, Wednesday.
I think Wednesday's not.
Wednesday's the appreciation day, like the sponsors and all that kind of stuff. And then Thursday, they're back. Thursday's the day with the fans. But it would be nice to see that energy again. I can't remember last year with training camp. Could you be out there?
I could, yes.
Yeah, but you guys got to get tested. You had to, like, the swab up the nose like 10 times.
There was
times,
a split in the media core where there was 12.
Like vaccinated, unvaccinated?
Split? Well, yeah, there was 12 of us that were allowed to be tested every day and be slightly higher up on the access
list. Did we have a Rolovich in the media?
last year, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But the requirement right now for anybody who doesn't know is that for you to be in the press box for game days for NFL games, you have to be vaccinated.
Yep.
Period, point blank, end of story. So,
to actually cover the in the press box?
Yes.
Ooh, really?
So,
okay.
It is a de facto job requirement for all of us right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it gets back to normal a little bit on Wednesday. Going to be out there with your buddies. You probably don't have to. Can this year, since you guys are out there, you're vaccinated or in COVID and all that, do you still have to wear masks and all that kind of stuff?
When we are interviewing a player in person, yes. So, not when we are watching practice.
So when you guys, but you guys get to do on the on-field interviews again.
There are going to be in-person interviews.
There we go.
So not every single interview done this season will be done via a Zoom call.
So what we need from you, and we're doing some on-air producing right now, okay? On-air show content, because the people want it. You think as much as they want the F1 report, because the F1 report recap is coming up at 11:30, is we need an exclusive Curtis from camp interview.
Well, there could be a problem with that.
Why?
If I'm running this show, I can't do it.
Well, practice starts at 1:30.
But the availability for one-on-one interviews, I think, is going to be at about 11:40.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Before practice.
Why would they do that? Why would you do it before practice? Why would they do it after practice?
Because there's just going to be more. I think they're going to do the podium stuff after practice.
Sweet Maria. What are we doing over there?
So,
do I need to not only open up? I've got the crisis firm that's going to be open. Do I need to open up just a PR firm for people? You don't do the interviews before practice. You do the interviews after practice when they're walking off the field. All right. So you may be gone. We may not have you.
I'm going to be here. I have a feeling.
Any way you can do it there. Can you run the board remotely?
Can I take the board with me out to Renton?
Maybe. Maybe you could do that. This is why I think the show needs to be on a boat. Can I tell you why? If we do it on the boat, then if you run the board, I don't know how we could do that, and then in breaks, we'll just zip you up to the dock, drop you off, you go interview guys.
When we get the new studio, is it let us run the board remotely?
Probably not. Well, I don't know. Depending on, do we have Windows 98 still running everything around here?
Yeah, that could be an issue.
You know? All right. Well, however we
we'll
do it.
We'll figure something
we
out.
We need an exclusive Curtis Crabtree sit-down. I want it very much like a Roy Firestone. Do you know who that is?
I'm
okay.
Yeah.
I just want to know something. You're young. I forget. We want something like that. Kind of like the Graham Bissinger guy that's always on route that you've never heard of the dude before.
Yeah, or like the old school Jim Rome show where Jim Everett tried to kill him.
Yes, we want interviews. I want an exclusive one-on-one Curtis interview with whoever. You pick anybody. I don't even care who the damn player is. It can be the fourth backup to the guard. I don't care. Just anybody you want. Because really, I don't have to do anything. Okay? Less work for me, Curtis.
Understood.
Well, that'll be fun. So we'll start. I think it's really cool that fans get to go out there again. There is something really cool about that atmosphere when that thing is rocking and rolling and everyone's up on the berm and having a good time. I did peek at the website today. I guess there's still tickets available for Thursday. It's not sold out. And last time, I'm going to check again. It's sold out for Saturday, but on their website, it had Thursday available, which I was kind of surprised about because that's the first day that that people can be there. I don't know if people are leery or if because it's a Thursday. Yeah, it says Thursday, July 29th, on sale. Register. So you can still do Thursday, which is the first one that's open. Saturday is sold out. Good reason, weekend. Monday, August 2nd is available. Tuesday, it's available. Wednesday is available. Friday the 6th is sold out. Saturday the 7th is sold out. That's interesting. What do you think? Is there a commentary in that at all? I wonder. Because those things, when they go on sale in the past, all of it's been done.
Yeah, I don't know.
In like 10 minutes. It's like all of the sessions have been sold out. And they have got the only ones that are ever sold out. And they got a lot that are still for sale. This Thursday, next Monday, next Tuesday, next Wednesday. The one on Sunday, August 8th, which is going to actually be at Lumen Field, that's available. Tuesday, August 10th, that's still available. They only have 5 sellouts so far. Interesting. I don't know what, I mean, summer, maybe people are just gone. People are traveling. Maybe people are leery about going there. I don't know. Going on the buses, maybe. Maybe that's the reason why. Because it's got to be bussed over there. Maybe people just don't want to be on the bus.
Alert listener, Kevin Shockey just sent us a message. It might be because there's a lack of autographs. Because the players can't interact with fans.
Oh. Okay, I see that. Because they won't go over there and sign anymore. That's probably
they're
over,
probably. Right? I think they're still prohibited from interacting with fans because of that. So that could be the issue.
Yeah, I get it. All right. Well, if you want to go, plenty of good seats available. All right, if you want to go on over there and go check it out, especially, which Thursday really surprised me. You would think there would be this because how crazy people are in this town about this football team. Despite them, I guess the autographs being maybe a holdback, you would think people would be like, it's the first time that I got to go watch some football in person. That you would think they would be all over that. Well, our station will be out there on Thursday. I think Softy and Fain, or Ian will be out there. Softy and Fain will be out there on Thursday. Friday's closed to the media. And then Wednesday it's closed because they're just doing kind of an exclusive thing. But we'll be out there Thursday. I know Softy and Fain is going to be at the Pac-12 Media Day coming up tomorrow live from Los Angeles, which I don't know if I've got the times yet. I'm going to check the Pac-12 Media site. I'll check it here in the break. I'll find out when Rolovich is going to talk. I don't know if he's going to be one of the first ones, the last one. I think the one sheet that they had they put out a couple weeks ago was just an alphabetical order of the schools. So I don't think that's the actual times. We'll find out the times. That obviously will be the number one topic tomorrow, at least for him. And then his players, Max Borghi and Jihad Woods. Pac-12 Media Day coming up tomorrow. All right, we'll take a quick break. Not For Me Monday continues to roll on. Bucky talking baseball. His normal time coming up at 11 o'clock. We got Tweet of the Day, 11:45. Should mention Curtis is going to pop on because he's here already. At 11:30, talk a little Seahawks training camp, some storylines. Also, everyone's asking for it, even though there was no race. F1 recap show is back. He's going to give you the very latest, maybe an early preview of the Hungarian Grand Prix. We got the Texas and Oklahoma story, Team USA losing to France. We're broadcasting live from the Ballpark Realty Studio, ballpark-realty.com.
Jen for a quote today.
Now, back to the Puck Show, powered by Redbox. on Sports Radio 950 KJR and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, leave it up to the Pac-12 to have different times for everything. Here's what I see on the Pac-12 website that apparently was different earlier today. I don't know. Pac-12 website tomorrow is, of course, Pac-12 Media Day. Our guy, George Kliavkov, will make his opening remarks at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Pac-12 Network, Pac-12 Now app, all of that. And then you're going to hear from Merton Hanks. And then Rob Mullins, Oregon Athletic Director and Chair of the Pac-12 Athletic Director Committee. And then all the interviews will start. 10 a.m. it'll be Justin Wilcox, California head coach. And then at 10:15 it'll be Mario Cristobal, Oregon head coach. Jimmy Lake tomorrow. So we'll carry that one live. We'll carry Jimmy Lake. It's at 10:30 tomorrow. And then it's David Shaw at 10:45. And then Nick Rolovich at 11 via Zoom, which, of course, we will carry that one there as well. And now, they're supposed to be 15 minutes. Like, I don't know. The hell you got to get 15 minutes in? You kidding me? You're telling me you're going to give, they're going to allot Rolovich 15 minutes tomorrow? Jonathan Smith better get ready for about 11:45-ish. 15 minutes. I mean, there's not going to be a single question about football. So then it concludes with Kyle Whittingham at 3:45. But locally here, we'll be all over this course, home of the Huskies. We'll have Jimmy Lake tomorrow at 10:30. We'll give you portions of that. I think it's always interesting to hear maybe from David Shaw, maybe a little bit of that, and then Nick Rolovich at 11 o'clock. So we'll kind of clear out our calendar, and we'll bring that to you. His first public comments will be Nick Rolovich tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., and we'll play it for you right here on 950 KJR, his decision not to get vaccinated, and what does that mean there for the team. So we'll see. I don't know. People keep sending me different tweets. I'm on the Pac-12 media site right now, and they're showing different times and what was sent out, I guess, a few days. Anyways, we'll see. Tomorrow will be an interesting day. I'm going to be interested in how many questions to Rolovich are just about his decision, how many questions to the rest of the media are thrown out there, the questions from the media to the other coaches. I mean, sir, they're going to ask David Shaw about it. And David Shaw has no he loves sharing his opinion on everything. And because he's a well-spoken dude, and he's got a thought or two and a well-thought-out opinion on most things. And I'm sure Jimmy Lake's going to be asked about it tomorrow there as well. But how many of the questions will be about that? You know, I'm sure someone at some point, which always happens in these press conferences, will ask him something about the team. I got a feeling there's going to be something tomorrow, though, from somebody, and I don't know who we were talking. It was last week. Maybe it was you and me, Curtis. Maybe it was with the go-to guy or something. I'm not going to be surprised if he walks out, if he ends it, because has been his mentality with these questions. When it's been brought up last year, he gets agitated talking about it, doesn't like to talk about it, and if every question tomorrow is going to be about that. And here's the difference, too. It disarms the media a lot that he's going to be on Zoom. And you know this, Curtis. And it happens to everybody. It's one thing when you're in the same room as the person and you're throwing and you're peppering that person with questions, especially if it's a difficult, situation. It's another thing, though, when you are not, there's no physical interaction. You see them on a screen and that's it. And then by doing it via Zoom, how much more does that open up national people to come in? I don't know. I mean, I would think there's going to be access to more national people being able to jump on.
Yeah, there's probably
going to
be reporters who weren't going to be in Los Angeles that now have the ability to take part in that.
What about news outlets? How many news outlets now, and maybe this is not on their radar, are going to participate in it tomorrow via Zoom? All of your major cable news programs. All right, go through the laundry list of the ones everyone hates and then the ones that everyone loves. And then, I bet there's going to be local TV stations. Well, I know for a fact one local TV station is going to be on the thing. Local TV stations who are going to have reporters that don't necessarily cover sports going to be on there asking him questions. You know, his idea, his mentality, his thinking that this is, hey, we're going to ask you about who the starting, he's going to think after tomorrow that me peppering him about Jaden Delora last year, if he's going to be the starter, was about the easiest question he's ever answered and had the most fun answering. Because I think the who is your starting quarterback question tomorrow is it going to be about the easiest one that he can answer. That's what I would say.
Do you think that how his session goes tomorrow could have any impact on his status?
Yes, 100%. 100%. 100%. I think if he steps into tomorrow, that's going to be bad for him. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe he comes out tomorrow, changes his tune, and says, you know what, after talking to the medical staff, after talking to our educators here, you know, I've made the decision to get vaccinated. I want to, you do everything. I want to apologize, whether you think he needs to apologize or not. I did some more research on it, and I've come to the conclusion I'm going to do it. If he come, I don't know, it's a great question, Curtis. If he comes out defiant tomorrow and says something.
Or if he walks out.
Or says something or walks out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I've always felt there's two ends of this thing. And they're extreme on both sides to it. So we'll see. It's unfortunate that we're talking about it because we should be talking about the football team and them moving forward and having a season and all that and actually having a full season this year. But that won't be the case. All right, we got some news on the Mariners. It's not breaking. Just some news on the future of the Mariners, on some of their future prospects. Not a trade, though. We'll update you on that coming up next. Also, we'll check in with Bucky Jacobson. He joins us every Monday at 11 o'clock talking.